Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. We have a gift for you today, and so later on I'll be talking more about that gift. But I'd like to begin with a thought for today. The present cycle is called the stage of the forerunner. It is preparatory in nature, testing in its methods, and intended to be revelatory in its results. And that's a thought from the works of Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. Lucis Trust sponsors this show, Inner Sight. And Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of books. And I guess probably the best way to give a very quick idea of what those books are about is they're about spiritual philosophy, and there are a lot about discovering who we are and what our potential is. And so as you listen to our show, just be aware that all of the dialogue on this show emanates from the 24 volumes from the works of Alice Bailey. The writings of Alice Bailey refer quite often to forerunners. What exactly is a forerunner, and why is it that why is that the theme of our program today?
At this time of year, we have several holidays coming up that are days of honor and recognition of what I would consider forerunners. One is Martin Luther King Day in January. And then in February, we have here in America the President's Day, which is in honor of two of our past presidents, Lincoln and Washington. So it seemed appropriate to talk about forerunners today. That's a theme that comes up in the writings of Alice Bailey. And it ties in with the topic that I was taught in grade school. I don't know if children still are taught about the lives of great men and women who have really made a difference in human history. Mm-hmm. The people who really stand out on the cutting edge, so to speak, of human evolution. These are the forerunners. And for example, Martin Luther King would be an example of one who caught a glimpse of what was possible at a time of real crisis in America during the civil rights era, when there was so much discord and a real cleavage within society between the people who understood the need for civil rights for African Americans and those who were adamantly opposed to it and wanted to preserve the past. He was able, through his own strength of character, to make a bridge, in a sense, between those two worldviews. He stood utterly for principles. He didn't compromise. But he didn't demonize people either. Mm-hmm. He used to teach about the expulsive power of love. The expulsive power of love. He understood that love is more powerful than hate, and that that energy, which it is, that powerful spiritual energy, when really expressed in a mass way, could bring about a correction of a terrible injustice, and so it did. Lincoln is another example of a forerunner.
Yes, he's a very good example. He came forth at a time of great need and a time of great crisis in this country, in the United States. And he was able to embody in himself the needs of the country and the people at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was Yeah, go ahead.
In a sense, the Alice Bailey writings speak of him as embodying the soul of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I find that interesting. There are certain individuals down through history who seem to sum up in themselves the soul of their people. Maybe Gandhi could be another example of someone who expressed the highest potential within the people. These people are not in themselves perfected beings, and nowadays the tendency of historians is to probe some of the more unredeemed aspects of character, and there are problems that you can identify both within Martin Luther King and with Abraham Lincoln. Both of them had less than perfect personal lives because they were human beings, and yet they were in the forefront of what was possible within humanity for their time and in their society.
Yes, their forerunners are essentially like pioneers, mm-hmm. I see, and they bring to light new ideas and new institutions. They institute new institutions, and they establish new patterns of working and ways of looking at the world, and they often come at specific times that coincide with the unfolding plan of God. They come forth at a time of need, and that's what's referred to in the present cycle, it says in the opening thought, the present cycle of the stage of the forerunner. this simply refers to this present cycle of the great changes that are taking place in the world. And this is largely because of these forerunners coming in now to do their work.
Another interesting word in our opening thought is revelatory. This stage is intended to be revelatory in its results. What that suggests to me is that these forerunners reveal or embody or enact or express something that is potential within a large portion of humanity. They reveal, they display and express a quality that then the people of goodwill and of intelligence can follow and build upon, because these forerunners have anchored and, in a sense, documented the essence of the change that needs to be made. And there were certainly many people that followed upon the work of Dr. King. Even though he was assassinated, as was Lincoln, their work continued because they had cut the furrow to begin with. And we haven't said much about Washington. We should put in a word for George Washington. Why is he a forerunner? Because he was chosen out of all of the great founding fathers who were present at the birth of the United States as the most appropriate person to be the first president. He was, as I understand it, completely selfless in his lack of personal ambition. In fact, he wanted to stay on his farm in Virginia, and they had to beg him to take the office of president. But he was a born and natural leader, and he was able to, along with the other founding fathers, help the United States to make an appropriate beginning. I don't think we really appreciate what the founding fathers did. But when you think of somebody like Ho Chi Minh, the guerrilla leader, I guess you could call him, of Vietnam, I heard once that he was a great student of the U.S. Constitution and wanted very much to see its principles instilled in the Vietnamese political system. So we shouldn't underestimate what the founding fathers achieved.
Mm-hmm. Have there always been forerunners, or is this a fairly modern phenomenon?
No, there have always been forerunners. probably even going back to caveman days, you know, the one who discovered fire, let's say, maybe
yeah.
He was a forerunner.
Yeah.
But no, all down through history there have been these great beings that have come forth and presented new ideas, from the Moses to the Buddha, and of course Christ was probably one of the greatest forerunners. As the forerunner for the Christianity in the world. And So, no, all down through history, there have been many, many forerunners, and this is not a modern phenomenon at all.
Quite often they come into prominence at times of crisis, mm-hmm. Not when everything is going along very smoothly. As the Ageless Wisdom presents history, and I should say for our listeners who haven't heard that term, the Ageless Wisdom is the strain of spiritual or esoteric teaching that runs throughout all the great religions of the world and that can be traced back to ancient India and to the Vedas. It's preserved and runs like a golden thread throughout mm-hmm. The religious teaching of the world. This Ageless Wisdom teaches that history runs in kind of cycles of critical points followed by more stable periods when things are consolidated, followed by more crisis. Most of us, I think, probably bent on avoiding crisis at all costs, but in fact, crises are exactly what the soul mm-hmm. of humanity needs to grow and to take the needed steps that bring about mm-hmm. change. Forerunners generally are especially prominent at those points in history when humanity or a portion of humanity is ready for another step, for a step forward in consciousness. Really what we're talking about is the change in consciousness that occurs within a people.
Yes, and that reminds me of one very well-known, I don't know if he's well-known, this person, but certainly what he founded was well-known, and that's the that has to do with the founding of the International Red Cross. The founder of the Red Cross was a man by the name of Henri Dunant, D-U-N-A-N-T. He was a Swiss businessman, and he lived in from 1828 to 1910, and he's considered to be the father of the International Red Cross. And it came about rather an interesting way, because we were talking just a moment ago about crisis. Well, when he was on a business trip to Italy, and he was passing through this little town called Solferino, Italy. It's in northern Italy. And this was in 1859. And he didn't come there to witness a war, but he certainly did. He came involved in a battle that was going on between the French and the Austrian forces against the Italian liberation forces at the time. And they had like 300,000 troops lined up against each other. And it was a horrific battle. And Dunant experienced the aftermath of this battle. And there was some 40,000 casualties at the time. And there was scant little medical personnel to help with all these casualties. So he, being a businessman and very adept at organizing, organized a relief effort right there on the spot, and he got the townspeople together, and he paid for bandages and medicines out of his own pocket, and out of this experience, this horrific carnage, in this great crisis that he found himself in, a few years later, he came to the idea that what the world needed at that time was some relief agency, some independent, some neutral, some non-political group of volunteers to administer to the wounded in battle. And so he organized an international group of European leaders and dignitaries, and in 1864, they came together in a conference, and they drew up a convention of articles which served as the basis for the International Relief Society to take care of wounded in wartime. And out of that organization, out of that meeting, was founded the International Committee on the Red Cross, which is based in Geneva, and that Geneva was his hometown. So here we have a man that, out of this crisis, the best that he had to offer and the great vision that he was able to conceive of the international nature and the neutrality nature of the Red Cross, this volunteer organization, came into being. And that's just the way these things turn out sometimes.
And for those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. And we're speaking today about forerunners, and forerunners seem to be people who make dramatic changes in the routines of humanity. And I even was thinking of a business book that I was reading the other day, and speaking about people who are in business who are change agents, who effectively change the course of an organization by their innovative ideas. But we also promised you a gift today, and we're happy to give you that gift. And the gift is a pamphlet, and the title is The New Group of World Servers. It's more or less in sync or in line with what we're talking about today. It's called The New Group of World Servers, and we'll be happy to send it out to you free of charge if you call us on our toll-free number. It's 1-866-695-8247. And you can order any of the Alice Bailey books from us on that particular toll-free line, or you're welcome to buy the Alice Bailey books. There are 24 volumes, and the topic today is mentioned here and there in several volumes. There's no one volume that focuses on it more than others. But if you want individual books, esoteric psychology, we've been taking a lot of our dialogue has emanated from those two volumes, part one and part two, and any of the 24 volumes, or if you'd like to, you can order all 24 volumes of the Alice Bailey books from us directly. And if you do so and order it from our organization, Lucis Trust, you'll get a 10% discount. You're certainly welcome to buy them at Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Borders Bookstore, but you'll only get the discount directly from us. So once again, we're delighted to send this gift off to you if you'd like to peruse this pamphlet. It's called The New Group of World Servers. You can phone us on our toll-free number to either order books that you want to purchase or to order the gift at 1-866-695-8247. You're also welcome to order our general package of information telling you about who we are. We're not a religion. That's the most commonly asked question. We're more of an organization that focuses on spiritual philosophy, and we explore many different ideas of spirituality and spiritual philosophy. So if you'd like to learn more about us, you can also ask for our general package of information. An easy way to remember our toll-free number is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, N-Y-L-U-C-I-S. It's 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Our website is www.lucistrust.org. And if you key into our website, you can listen to our previously archived library of shows, interesting topics such as what is self, and how do we go about making changes in our lives, significant changes, and so many others that you can take a look at, listen to as you key into our website. That's, once again, that's www.lucistrust.org. Our email is newyork@lucistrust.org. And we also want to say that this show is funded by the generous donations of our listeners, and we need and we welcome your support. More about forerunners. I don't know if I'm correct in making it analogous to that business book that I read about a forerunner being a very dynamic change agent, but would you say forerunners are uniquely intuitive, or are they more counterintuitive?
Well, I suppose you could say both are true. The intuition is that aspect of the mind that grasps the emerging plan of God, that senses the future reality. It's a kind of capacity that jumps past reason and logic and grasps an idea that's just on the point of being born. Great scientists are often intuitive. They have to be able to register the solutions to problems that previous scientific investigation hasn't uncovered. But on the other hand, the forerunner also has to be, in many cases, kind of counterintuitive, in the sense that this person is able to go against the prevailing sense of reason and logic and wisdom that says life is such and such and reality is thus and so. The counterintuitive is able to think against that tendency and come up sometimes with an entirely new and often brilliant perception. I was reading recently in Emerson's book, Essays on Heroism, and he said that heroism often works in contradiction to the voice of mankind. And in contradiction for a time to the voice of the great and good. Well, that's a good way to describe the counterintuitive impulse. It goes against the voice of mankind sometimes and says something totally unexpected is, in fact, possible.
At this time, would you say the nature of the forerunner is changing?
I think it is, in a way, because in the past we've had individuals coming forth and presenting their ideas. But nowadays, more and more, the forerunner is in the nature of a group. The problems in the world today are really soul size, in a way, and they're very complex, and it's more than perhaps a single individual can handle at one time. So I think the nature of the forerunner is changing.
I think there will always be a place and a need for the really great individuals that chart the course for humanity. And something that kind of worries me about present thinking is this tendency to want to level and democratize human achievement, to say that everyone is equal and nobody's better than anybody else, kind of goes against the concept of the forerunner and the gift of the forerunner. We're all precious in the eyes of God. We're all of value spiritually as souls, but there are people among us who are truly capable of greatness, and by their contribution, all of us are able to move forward. Mm. But this growth of the group forerunner, you're right, it is a phenomenon of today, and it gives us all hope of being able to contribute our little teaspoon of whatever to a much larger pool of goodness for humanity. We may not be capable of greatness as individuals, but as part of a group, people of intelligence and of goodwill and unselfishness and commitment to a just and right cause can be part of a group forerunner. For example, one group that comes to mind is Doctors Without Borders, which is a group that's doing great good in the world to intervene in areas of war and to be free of the political constraints, to be able to serve the needs of the local population that are being victimized without being caught up in the politics of it. That's an example, I suppose, of a group forerunner.
And I think also that it'll be mentioned in this pamphlet we're giving out on the new group of world servers that this worldwide group is itself a forerunner for the Christ, the coming one. And so this was an unrecognized group, but they're very definitely in the world, and it's performing a worldwide movement to prepare the way for the coming one that will be shortly.
I think that the people that are involved in the technological revolution of today are part of this group forerunner. I'm thinking of the people that invented the Internet. the tremendous difference that has made in people being able to be in touch with each other and to share their ideas, not just for conversation and chit-chat, but to share knowledge and information and to have a sense of the network of servers that is literally worldwide, is something that really comes across vividly if you go on the internet very much and get a sense of the tremendous work being done by so many different groups, some of whom may be aware of each other, some may not, but they are all working along similar lines and supplementing and strengthening each other's work, the non-governmental organizations of the world that do such good in virtually every field of human endeavor. They are part of this group, Forerunner, and the internet makes it possible for them to communicate.
I remember what you said earlier in the show, Sarah, about crisis. Winston Churchill said something very similar. He said, crisis breeds genius.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And speaking of genius, are Forerunners related to geniuses?
Yes, I think they are. The nature of genius is something that's not completely understood yet by psychologists. And, of course, I think there are geniuses who are not particularly on the cutting edge of human development. They are simply gifted in a particular field, mm-hmm. for example, a musical genius or whatever. But there are geniuses who truly have caught some spark of divine inspiration in their consciousness and been able to ground it, express it in their field. And this brings up an aspect of the forerunners that we have to emphasize for our listeners. It's that these people are able to make a bridge between present human understanding and the divine plan of God. So they are a link between humanity and its higher future potential, which is the kingdom of the soul. They bring through ideas related to the plan that God has for our world, and they give them form and shape, and those ideas then inspire others to
develop
them.
Well, yeah, I think according to the ageless wisdom teaching, genius is a quality that's built up over many lifetimes of experience along a particular line of experience. Like as you mentioned, great musicians, they've had many lifetimes of being musicians, and this experience is built upon it with each new life, and the memory is still there and it's retained. And the same with mathematicians, you might say, also.
Mm-hmm. But in whatever field they work in, these geniuses are able to reveal. There's our word revelatory again. They can reveal something of divine purpose and divine essence through their art or through their science or through their understanding of human psychology or through their approach to religion or their new ideas about government or whatever.
And once again, if you'd like to order our gift that we're giving you today, we'll be happy to mail it out to you free of charge. Just ask for the pamphlet that we're giving away. It's very interesting, filled with a lot of interesting information. It's called The New Group of World Service, and you can order that pamphlet from us at 1-866-695-8247, or the easy way is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. And that's about all the time we have for our discussion today. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.